Hi guys, it is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio, your favorite podcast. Actually, shocker, I was multiple people's most listened to podcast for 2024. I learned that in this past week. So that's a cool fun fact. That's a fun fact to me. Maybe it's not a fun fact to you. Anyways, I'm not really sure what this episode is going to be because I realized that this episode comes out a couple of days after the new year starts. And last year I did this whole like year in review and whole episode, just like me reflecting on the year past. I don't really care to do that. I'll probably like say a couple of like, I'll give myself like 10 minutes to just like recap the year because it was actually quite a good year in comparison to last year. I don't even know why I was recapping last year because last year was like a hellfire, but this year was actually quite good for the most part. So I do want to recap like the good parts, the memorable parts, but at the same time I'm like, but then it's already the new year and then I feel like I should like do something to like start off the new year. But also I feel like this whole thing, like today's the 23rd, so tomorrow's Christmas Eve, the day after is Christmas. I feel like all of these holidays are just kind of coming at me and I am completely unprepared. Didn't really like put any brain power into thinking, oh yeah, like we are in the holiday season and now all of these holidays are happening. And so it's just all coming at me and I'm realizing it's going to come at me whether I'm prepared or not. So I just have to accept that it's happening. So yeah, I feel like I do like the concept of like reflecting on the year past and then also thinking a little bit about the year ahead, which we'll do in this episode, but I'm not putting in a ton of effort into that this year. Maybe, I can't remember though. I feel like last year I did this whole like moment where I like journaled and then I did the podcast episodes. To be fair, I already journaled for, I did like a year past review in my little journal, which also a fun fact, I have a journal because I feel like journaling is really good, but I don't pick up that journal very often. So like the last time I journaled was back in October. So it's like very sporadic. Okay. I'm not very good at keeping up with it. I was really good at keeping up with it when I was like fully heartbroken. Like then I was writing in it every single day almost, but now I just rarely write in it. And then I realized I feel like the podcast is kind of my journal. So that's why I don't really necessarily need to also write in said journal because it's probably just going to be the same stuff that I say on here. But then also I feel like I haven't really had the time to podcast recently. Like the whole month of December has kind of just like been a whirlwind. And I feel like the thing is, I always know that if I'm going to sit down and record an episode, I need like 2 hours to like record. It can take a while for me to like get through an episode. And I feel like my episodes generally are quite long. So I'm like, okay, I have to set aside 2 hours, which means I need 2 hours. And there have been days where I'm like, oh, I really want to like record a podcast episode. And then I think about it and I'm like, I don't have 2 hours to spare though. Like in an hour from now, I have to do this. I don't know why things have been so busy because it's not like I can tell you exactly what I've been busy with, but they just have been. Anyways, so I think it'll be a little accumulation of little year review, little year forward, whatever, something like that. And then also I'm probably just going to get some things off of my chest that I didn't end up sharing in any of the podcast episodes that came out before this one, because there are a couple of things that I like meant to talk about in like a whole separate episode and just do like one episode about that, mainly like job stuff. We're going to be talking a lot about job stuff and I never got to it. And now I'm like, I might as well just like get it out there while we're at it. And then we can like go into the new year on like a blank slate, which like the other thing about this whole thing is like, I know that the new year is such a great opportunity to kind of start fresh mentally. Like obviously your life doesn't change when the clock strikes 12, but like just start like a new mental refresh, like mindset. Like I think that's what is really great about a new year. But then when you really think about it, it's like your life doesn't change drastically from one year to another. Like within that like second that goes by or whatever between like 11:59 on New Year's Eve and 12 a.m. on New Year's, like nothing really happens. And so whatever your life is right now is probably what your life is going to be when you start the new year. So it's like not much changes. And for that, it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like especially this year, I'm kind of like, nothing's really changing. And I'm very much like in a kind of certain position. And I don't see myself going away from that certain position anytime soon. You'll get what I mean when I like start actually talking, blabbering on. So where do we start? I just feel like there's so much to like get out there. But where should I start? Should I just start with like the year review? So like I said, I think 2020. Oh, and then there's also other stuff. Oh God, guys, there's so much. I'll tell you about our very recent plan that has been made. Also, Christmas is happening. Not prepared for Christmas. Every year I try and get something for my dad or like, you know, try and be in charge of getting things for him, because I feel like no one else takes initiative either, because the problem is my dad is so hard to buy for. And admittedly, we didn't get him anything for his birthday because he's like that hard to buy for. And like, he's not the type of person who's like, I'm thinking of getting this, or like, I want this. My dad is like the least material person ever. Pretty much all of his clothing is over a decade old. I mean, unless he like goes to India and gets like shirts tailored, that's the exception of like when he gets new clothing. So there's that. Like, he just doesn't want anything. He's so not material, and it feels like a waste buying him things that you know he's not gonna like. It's like so hard to think about what he might enjoy, right? Like, it's just so hard to find things. And so every year for his birthday and then for Christmas, which like happens within like a month from each other, I am on the internet scouring those lists. I kid you not. Best gifts for the person who has everything. Best gifts. I literally looked up best gifts for Indian father. I was starting to just like put in random words. I was like, best gift for Indian father. Best gift for father who likes chess. Best gift for father who cooks. I was literally putting in any combination of words I could think of, hoping that I would find something. Ask me whether I found anything. No, I did not find anything. I found like possibilities, but I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that one. Maybe we'll use that for another year. So I'm hoping someone else took care of that. My sister just came in and she was like, so what did we get our father? And I was like, I didn't get him anything, because I was like, and I literally kept trying to involve her. And I was like, okay, can we sit down and like think about this? And then she would be like doing something else. And I was like, I can't do this all on my own. This is far too stressful. Anyways, so there's Christmas, and then I don't even know anymore. I don't know. Okay, so year in review. Like I said, I think out of all the years that I've lived in, well, I feel like you can only take the most recent years, my adult years. Anyways, this one has been a better year. I feel like there wasn't anything like super bad that happened. I feel like, and then also whatever bad there was greatly outweighed by the good. It was a good year, but also I won't say that it was an easy year. I feel like good and easy are not the same thing. I think that it was a tough year in many ways, and it continues to be for the next however 7 days we have, but it was a good year. It was a good year. And I do have this fear that there will never be a year that can top this one, just because so much happened. It's weird because so much happened, but also I feel like not that much happened. But in comparison to the years in the past, I feel like a lot happened. A lot of monumental things happened. So, okay, let's just start from the top. Also, I have to say, I really cannot associate myself with whoever I was back in January. In fact, I can't associate myself with who I was up until the end of March, because I entered the new year extremely heartbroken. And then I proceeded to be very heartbroken until March, when that whole spell lifted. And that was just a different person. That was a different person. And I'm forever grateful I made it through that heartbreak, because whoa, was that rough. I hated admitting it to myself at the time that I was like really going through it that entire time. But every day was like a battleground. I was so heartbroken. I don't think I had a singular day up until March, end of March, where I wasn't weighed down by all of this like sadness and like all these emotions. And I was just like in this mental place. I was in the heartbroken mental place, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's hard for me to associate myself with who I was then, because it wasn't until I came out of that heartbreak that I finally was like, I could breathe again. Like, I was finally myself. Okay, I just had to turn my attention away from the podcast because my mom wanted to show us all the Christmas cookies she wants us to make. Mind you, German Christmas cookies, not American, German Christmas cookies. There's so many different varieties and kinds. And mind you, also, we are 2 days away from Christmas. And you'll know why this actually makes no sense in a little bit when I tell you what our plans for Christmas are. Anyways, so yeah, I feel like first couple of months, it's just like such a haze. And I think for how traumatic that whole heartbreak was for me, I very quickly pushed all of that away. Like, I couldn't even tell you how heartbreak feels, because I just like don't want to even think about it. I just know that I was like really mentally unwell. I like to think that I was convincing people that I was like in a pretty good mental space, or at least like it was like on and off. Some days were really good, some days were just like rough. But no, I feel like that entire period was just rough. Like, I was like under a spell and I was unwell. Whoa, that rhymed. So that was basically the first couple months. One exciting thing though that happened right after the new year, was I had a video. Actually, it was technically a couple videos. It was like one video that like did like decently well, and then I followed it up with another video, and that one like really changed the entire game, because prior to 2024, I did not take content creation seriously. I loved watching YouTubers. I always wanted to be a YouTuber, a whole thing. Always thought it would be so cool to be a content creator. I was like, oh, imagine this is your job. Like, what? That would be so cool. But when I got into 2024 with a couple of viral videos, over 2 million, there were two that had over 2 million views. One of them, I think, has like 2.5, and the other one had like 4.6. And I think around 1,000 followers. It was maybe less. It was maybe somewhere in the like 900s, maybe a little more. I can't remember, but it was like just right around 1,000. And no, I think it was actually less. It should have, yeah, I think it was less. Anyways, point is, that was where I started the year. And the concept of like being able to do content creation in any way, shape, or form and like have that even be a thing was it just never crossed my mind. And so I didn't really take it seriously. It wasn't until that video blew up. I think it was like, I posted the first one, I think, on January 4th, January 3rd, January 4th. It was literally the day before, if I remember correctly, the day that I went back to college. Those were some rough days. I can't tell you why because it's a little too personal, but those were some rough days. Like I was like really, really going through it, and I thought my life was gonna end because of what had happened right before. Anyways, there was that. And then that Friday, so I think that was like, okay, maybe I'm getting the dates wrong. Yeah, I think I'm getting the dates wrong. Anyways, I think the Friday was like January 12th or 10th. It was either the 10th or the 12th. I think it was the 10th. January 10th, I post this video. It blows up. And for the very first time, I was having people like comment, be like, oh my gosh, I really relate to this. Or like, this made me feel less alone. I had people messaging me on TikTok, on Instagram. Like I was getting all these messages, like floods of messages and all that. And that's when it clicked in my head, like, oh my God, wait, maybe if I keep doing this, maybe if I keep putting in this effort into my TikTok account, like I could actually turn this into something. Like I could actually chase this dream that I've always had. Maybe I can do content creation and make it my thing. And so that's when like things just completely changed for me in terms of that. And you probably have heard about this so many times. I always tell the origin story of how my TikTok became what it is now. But yeah, anyways, so that was something that happened. So that was like a little bit of excitement. Like there was something to kind of hold on to in this time where I was going through it, hardcore going through it. Anyways, so there was that. And then, yeah, it wasn't until March. March is when I finished my 16 years of education, when I took my very last final in my sister's bedroom here at home. And then I was officially done with college. And then we went to Germany for spring break. And then when I was in Germany, that spell lifted. I'm pretty sure it was when I was in Germany, that spell lifted. And then I finally could see clearly again and breathe after like 6 months, probably more than 6 months actually, of just like hardcore going through it. So that was nice. That was nice. That was a good feeling, okay? Because I never thought I was going to make it out. I truly like, I was like, whoa, this is going to be the rest of my life. Like I'm always going to be just like severely heartbroken. And like my entire life is like controlled by that. So there was that. And then came back home. I had a month at home, kind of like pre-post-grad, where I got to sort of test out like what I was thinking of doing post-grad or where I saw myself post-grad, which is so funny because I feel like that just like takes us straight back to where I am now. I mean, it's like, that's when I went into post-grad and like it's just been a journey in itself now. So yeah. And then I went back to LA and that's when I started my travel adventures. First was Oahu with my friends Connie and Christine, and this was like my first, well, we never called it a girls trip per se, but it was a girls trip, right? It was the three of us and this was my first ever girls trip. Like I've never taken a trip like that before, so that was really cool. That was really fun. And then I went into my solo travel adventures, which I was doing for like 6 weeks. And I have to say, I know you guys don't really know, well, you guys know me and then you also don't know me, but prior to this year, I don't think I can say that I was particularly well traveled. Whenever we would, like generally, pretty much like 95% of the time when we would travel, it was either to India and Germany. So like whenever we had a break, we were either going to Germany or India. We didn't really travel outside of those destinations. And also it was like when I was going, and I know traveling is such a privilege, but whenever we were going, it was just to visit family and it was always going to the same place. So in India, it was going to New Delhi. In Germany, it was going to my mom's tiny little rural town. So it's weird because like I can say that I've been to India 10 times, but like I haven't really seen much of India myself. I've mainly been to Delhi. Also been to like Jaipur, Patna, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. And then Germany, again, like I feel like whenever people are like, oh, have you been to Germany? You know, when I tell them that my mom is German, I'm like, yeah, I've been 9 times. And here they are probably thinking like, oh, she knows Germany so well. But no, I don't, because I've only really ever been to my mom's tiny little rural small town that she grew up in. And then I've been to Munich, I think twice now, but that's about it. I could not tell you anything about Berlin. I could not tell you anything about Hamburg. I just couldn't tell you anything about those places. So I actually have not really gotten the opportunity to travel in Germany. That's something that I really want to do at some point because, yeah, it's like I've been there 9 times, but I also don't know the country whatsoever, minus this little snippet of it. So that was that. I feel like I grew up around a lot of people whose families did a lot of like family trips, and it was always like to a new destination instead of going to the same place over and over again. And my family did not do that. When I got to college, I'd been to a couple of places in the United States, not too many, but just a couple. And then outside of the United States, I'd only ever been to Portugal and Costa Rica. That was it. So I was not particularly well traveled. Like in theory, I was, because it's like I've been abroad so many times, but I'd always been to the same places. And so I feel like 2024 really changed that for me, where it was like all of a sudden I had the opportunity to really like travel. And now I feel like I'm a lot better traveled. It's actually kind of insane. Sometimes I'll find myself having conversations with people and I'm talking about the places that I've been to in this past year. And I'm like, whoa, I did that. I went to these places. So yeah, Japan, Australia, Singapore, and South Korea. I was doing that for 6 weeks of my life. And for years, it's been a goal of mine to solo travel. Always wanted to solo travel. I always knew this is something I wanted to do. I just never knew when I would be able to do it and when I would feel ready to do it. I think a lot of people could not find it within them to solo travel. And I think for many years, I myself probably would have not been able to find it within me to solo travel, especially to the destinations I went to. Like, I think it was one thing if I had been solo traveling, like even in Europe. I feel like Europe would have been a little bit more comforting for me than like going to Southeast Asia and Australia. I mean, Australia is fine. But Southeast Asia, where there's like the language difference and like such a cultural difference. And I had never been to Southeast Asia myself before, like with my family or anything. So I never had like a precursor trip to that where I was like, okay, but I know this area a little bit. So like, or like I've had experiences with these kind of cultures before. Like, no, I was jumping into the deep end. And I still think it's insane that like for my first solo trip, I decided to go there. I think I wasn't even really thinking, like I really didn't think that through. But then once I was in it, I was in it. And I had to just like, I was there. Like, I mean, I could have always gone home, but I was like, nope, I'm here. I'm sticking this through. No matter how difficult or confusing or lost I feel, I'm going to go through this on my own. And I did. And I did that for 6 weeks. And it's funny because like, I still can't fathom that I did all of that, but I did do it. So yeah, that was just like a huge goal of mine for so long. And the fact that it finally happened and the fact that I did that was, I feel so proud of myself for that. Ultimately, I feel like I didn't really give myself a lot of credit in the moment where I was like, whoa, I'm really doing this. But looking back, I'm like, whoa, I did that. And like, honestly, the idea of solo traveling now, like it still scares me a little bit where I'm like, oh my God, could I, you know, like I know where I would like to go next, at least in Southeast Asia, but I'm like, could I even do that? Would I be able to survive? But I did it once, so I should be able to do it again. So yeah, that was huge. Like that was, I think if we like rank most memorable things that happened this year, I guess that has to go number two, except I would like to put it as number one. But I think there's something else that ended up being a little bigger than that. So then I came back to LA, and within days, I was attending my graduation ceremonies. There were two of them. Also took grad pictures with my family, which was like really huge for me because I literally was like bawling, crying towards the end of that photo session, because I think I like mentioned kind of the story, but I didn't really like give the full details. But I guess now I've talked about this a bit, but my mom has cancer, as you probably have heard if you've been listening to my episodes. And when I was in Australia, my dad mentioned it and he was like, your mom is really sick right now. My mom was really sick. She spent Mother's Day in the hospital. And I really thought about like just like flying back home. I was like, what am I doing here in Japan when my mom's in the hospital? I should be going back home. But she kept insisting that I continue my journey. And she was like, I'm going to be fine. Like, we're going to be fine here. I just like can't even imagine what it was like for my family, because I think it was really rough, not just for her. My sister was doing APs, her AP exams, and like there was just so much stress and I wasn't there to like do it with them. But then when I was in Australia, my dad and I talked on the phone and he was like, honestly, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it to your graduation because mom is so sick. And like, if mom is sick, like I need to stay behind with her. And then like we could send your sister, but like, that's it. And so all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, well, first off, I was thinking, should I even go to my own graduation if my parents can't come. And then I was also thinking, like, if I do go to my own graduation and none of my family members can be there, it's like I'm doing this graduation ceremony by myself. And that would be kind of, yeah, I was thinking about a couple of different like alternatives. And a lot of people were like, I will show, because I ended up kind of like mentioning that my parents might not be able to come to my graduation, but I don't think I ever gave the reasoning. And there were people who like ended up reaching out to me and they were like, well, if your parents can't come, like I will go for them. And I was like, okay, if worst comes to worst, like at least I have people who are willing to show up for me and willing to attend. But luckily things ended up being okay and my family was able to come. And so that graduation shoot, and I wanted them to be in my graduation shoot, and that graduation shoot was just like so emotional for me, because I was like, I almost thought. And another thing is, I always kind of thought, like when my mom was re-diagnosed with cancer, I was like, I kept telling her, I was like, I just need you to hold out until I graduate college. Obviously more than that is the ideal, but if that isn't, like I want you to be at my college graduation. And so the fact that she could be was just like so huge. So anyways, yeah, there was that. I had my last undie run, which mind you, I only did 2 undie runs. It's like a UCLA tradition, but I only did 2 undie runs in the time that I was in college. And then graduation ceremonies, celebrated with my family, of course, and also like me, Christine, and then her family and my family went to brunch one day, which was nice. So stuff like that. And then there was this very quick turnaround where people just started leaving our college town. And I was like, whoa, no one's staying back for a couple of days or something like that. People moved out pretty quickly, which was shocking to me. And I decided to, I mean, I could have left earlier too, but I decided to stay back like an additional, I think, week and a half after my ceremonies. So I did. And I had kind of a week on my own in LA. And it was actually nice because I'd never had the greatest relationship with LA. And I was like so ready to leave. And then I had a couple, also my sister came to visit me. I keep forgetting this. I was writing this in my journal and I had totally forgotten about this too. But my sister came to visit me in LA for a weekend in February, which was also so cool because that's something like from the moment I got into college, I was always like, when you're 16, like you can come visit me and I'll take you like around and stuff like that. And lo and behold, when my sister was 16, she did come visit me and we got to do all the stuff and it was really cool. And that also really made me fall in love with LA, which yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But anyways, so yeah, I had this last week and it was pretty nice and then moved back home. And basically since then, I've been back home. Like honestly, not much has really changed. Yes and no. And then celebrated my 22nd birthday. We did a little birthday trip for my mom and I, which was nice. And then after that, I hit 10K on TikTok, started monetizing my content, which was really cool. Took a little break from TikTok. And then I went to India, spent 3 weeks in India, cut my hair twice. Second time it cut like really short. And now it's even shorter than that because I just fell in love with having short hair. So that was something that I never really thought I would actually like have the courage to do, but had always wanted to try. People were always like, your hair is going to look so bad if it's short, blah, blah. But I was like, I want to do this for myself. And so I finally did. So there was that. Came back. And also there was a career change moment back in August where I had this realization of like, oh wait, I don't want to do marketing anymore. I want to go into the art industry. And then I started like building up that knowledge base and talking to people in the art industry that people would connect me to and kind of trying to develop an idea as to what I wanted to do and then like applying to jobs and stuff like that. So that's also been a process that's kind of gone from like August onwards to like we're still very much in it. But a lot has also changed in that sense because when I started, I knew absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing. Now I feel like I know a lot more and I could definitely like spend some time talking about that and like share what I know. So there was that. And then visited Christine in San Diego. I went to gallery opening for the first time, gallery exhibition, and that started my very regular visits to galleries and gallery hopping and stuff like that, which I still do to this day. And then went to New York for a couple of days, celebrated my sister's birthday, worked the election as a poll worker, celebrated my dad's birthday. And then basically after that, I was kind of just home for a while and then worked Miami Art Week and then went to New York. And now we're here and celebrating the holidays and then we'll go into the new year. So yeah, that's basically the recap. That's the memorable things that happened this year. I think I'll wait to do like looking ahead. We can do that at the end. Now it's time to tell you guys the story that I never shared when it happened. That time I got a job. We're gonna do this like nice and quick and easy because it's not something I care to necessarily talk about, but also I think in the new year I'll share all of that content that I like produced. I held on to it for a while because when it first happened, I was like, if I post this now, no one will understand why this was such a big deal to me and why it like took me out in the way that it did take me out, because no one knows about the career change. So I had to first share that. But also I wanted to just like, I knew that if people saw that, people might like share their opinion, and I wanted to just like let it go past me first, because for a while I thought my life was ending. Like it was that bad. Okay, it was that bad. So let's get into it. So basically back in October, very end of October, literally right between my San Diego trip and my New York trip, I was getting a little stir crazy and I was like, I need to get out. And also I was like stressing about career stuff. And I was like, oh, like am I ever gonna make this career change happen? Like, I feel like I'm not getting anywhere with that, blah, blah. I decide to go to a gallery exhibition that's happening here in Miami. So I go and it's a nice little night. End up talking to a couple people, which was really nice. I was feeling social. I was like, I love this. Including the gallery associate, who was also someone around my age, recently post-grad too, for about a year. And we start talking and I'm telling her like, yeah, like I really want to get into the art industry and I'd love to work in a gallery, blah, blah. And she was like, well, we don't have any open positions now, but send your resume. If we ever have any open positions, like we can consider you for it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Thank you. Then we start talking a little bit more about like post-grad. And she's like, yeah, like I don't really know too many people here. And I was like, same, like I recently moved back. And so she was like, here, I'm going to give you my number. You want to text me, like you can, we can do something. It was like, amazing. So I send my resume next day or something like that. And then I go on my merry way. Don't expect to hear back from them because obviously she said they don't have any open positions, but it's out there now. In the meantime, I start texting her and we're like, oh yeah, we should do something, blah, blah. And we start planning. And we did a little back and forth. And like, there was one day where we had planned something, but then she was like, sorry, like I actually have something else going on, like can't do it this day. So basically in the middle of November, I think the third week of November, we decide that we are going to hang out that Monday. The day before we're set to hang out, I get an email from the gallery and they're like, would you be willing to come in for an interview? We wanted to see if you're a fit for some like a position we have. No like description on the position or anything. I have no clue what they're talking about. They just want to see if like I'm a good candidate or something like that, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, interesting, exciting, yay, like things are happening. This is good. This was like my first. Well, I had just gotten the Miami Art Week job a couple of days prior. So I was like in a good place, but I was like, whoa, things are falling into place. Like, this is so exciting, finally. So I'm like, cool. But I decide to wait until we hang out to like respond about doing the interview, because I just wanted to hear it from her and see what her experience with the gallery was and all that, just like kind of scope it out. So start hanging out with her and I'm like, so like, how's gallery life? How's working at the gallery, blah, blah. And straight off the bat, she goes, oh, so I just quit my job. And I was like, there's no way, because I got an email yesterday from the gallery asking me to come in for an interview. And she was like, oh, they're definitely filling my role. Like, that's good. And so she starts telling me a little bit about the gallery and why she's leaving. And it's not anything personal, or it's not like the gallery was like a bad fit or anything. It's just like she had been doing it for a year and realized she wanted to do something else. And it wasn't exactly in line with what she studied in school. So she wanted to like move on to something that was closer to what she studied. Honestly, all of her plans were pretty vague, which was a little bit of like a red flag already from the start. But point is, I wasn't like trying to be like green flag, red flag. I was just listening. But it was like, it kind of sounded like me when I graduated college and was like, I'm going to pursue my passion projects and I'm going to do content creation. That literally was what her plans sounded like. And I'm the last person to judge, because that's what I'd been doing for the past like 4 months, 5 months, whatever, however long at this point. So I was like, oh, that's so exciting. Like, that sounds really cool, all those ideas that you have. And so anyways, she then is like, I definitely think this would be a really great position for you. Like, because I was telling her, like, I really want to move to New York. And she was like, I'm going to be honest, like, you're not going to get a job in New York straight off the bat. Which, to be fair, I had been telling her, I'm actually just looking for an internship. Like, I don't want to go into a full-time position just yet. But she kind of didn't hear that. She just thought that I wanted like a full-time position. position in New York, which I was like, clearly I'm not going to get. Like, I'm aware that I don't have the experience for that. But anyways, so yeah, she's like, I think it would be a really great idea if you can like start here in Miami, gain some of that experience, and then like later on you can move to New York and get a job there. And I was like, okay. So I leave us hanging out excited. She's given me the green light kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I email them back and I'm like, yes, I can come in for an interview. We set up a date. It's for the following Monday. And now I'm like, okay, this is happening. But already from, and this is one of the episodes, there were a lot of episodes about this whole situation that never made it out. But literally like that night, I hopped onto the microphone and I like was talking about like, oh my gosh, like this is happening. And I just hung out with this girl and this is what she said. And I'm already a little skeptical about this whole thing in the sense that I was very excited that I might have this opportunity. I feel like the problem was it already got me like, I was a little concerned about this because I was like, am I getting my hopes up way too high? Because she was like, it's going to be a really great thing for you if it works out. And I was already thinking about like, oh, if it does work out, like here are some of my concerns. My main concerns were the fact that I didn't think that I was going to start with like a full-time thing. I just wanted an internship. I wanted to have like a trial run before I went into like the real deal, because I'd never worked in the art world before. And that concerned me that I didn't have any experience and I was going like head first into a full-time role. And also I was like, I just didn't see myself like working in Miami. And something that I have to think about is like transportation. Like, how would I get there every day? Like, I don't have a car. Miami is a very car dependent city. There's not like an easy way to just get there unless I were to take like Ubers every single day. So like there were some concerns. Okay, I had some concerns, but I was trying to be excited. I was excited, but also I was like, okay, but if this actually happens, like here are some things that I'm a little worried about. Already thinking way too far ahead. But anyways, time goes by. When they set up this interview with me, they invited me to a gallery exhibition they had that Saturday. I was like, do I really want to go? Like, I don't know. But I was like, I feel like I need to show face just to like put a good foot forward, whatever the sayings are. I can't think of any of these things right now. And so I was like, I need to do this for myself and for my future career and for the small possibility that I can get this job. One thing to note while I was still talking to this girl is that she did kind of mention, like, she's like all excited and she's like, it'll be a really great experience and blah, blah, and all the experience I'm gonna gain, blah, blah. And then at some point she goes, wait, do you speak French? And I was like, no. And she was like, oh, wait, that might be a problem. But then she goes back into all of the exciting stuff. And I'm like, okay. So already thinking like, well, that's, if you're saying that's gonna be a problem, like that's gonna be a problem because I don't speak French. So to be fair, I very much went into this not thinking that I was gonna get the job offer, because when I went to their gallery exhibition, I took my sister with me. I was talking to the photographer that was being exhibited, like that was his show. And at some point I was like asking him about his artwork or his photographs. And then at some point he was like, oh, like, are you an artist yourself? And I was like, no, but I'm trying to get into the art industry. I'd love to work in a gallery. And he was like, well, if you speak French, again with the French, this gallery actually has a position open. And I was like, oh yeah, like I actually have an interview with them on Monday. And he was like, what's your name? And I was like, Sophia. And he was like, oh yes, I heard about you. And I was like, oh my gosh, you heard about me? Like that feels like pressure on. To be fair, I don't know what it was. It's not like anything inherently wrong happened that night, but I came back feeling so out of it, like so mentally unwell. I don't know why, but like I had a really good day. Like my sister and I had been kind of like mini gallery hopping in Miami. I found my new favorite gallery that day. We went to the gallery. We had a really great conversation with the founder of the gallery who was there. We tried to do another gallery. It didn't work out. We were having a good day. I was excited to go finish the day off with this gallery exhibition. I went in and I just automatically fell off. I don't know why. I can't tell you like what happened, why I went from feeling so good to feeling like really not good whatsoever. But all I know is I came back home and I just felt so discouraged. And like, I just like was like, I'm not gonna get the job. I don't know. I was just in such a negative mental state when I came back home because of that night. So I don't know, couldn't explain that. But anyways, Monday comes by, I get ready for this interview, my mom drops me off. And here's the thing, Mondays were the gallery associate's day off. So I thought, oh, perfect, like she won't be there, which like that wasn't exactly like something that was really top of mind. But I just thought like, oh, if I'm interviewing for her position, I feel like she doesn't necessarily need to be there. And so like, I just thought she wasn't gonna be there, you know, kind of thing. Also, another thing to note, this is the week of Thanksgiving. So this is like the Monday before Thanksgiving. So I go in And the way that this gallery works is that there's two owners. It's a mother and son. The mother is the one who doesn't speak English. She only speaks French. And then the son does speak English. And so he greets me and we talk a little bit and he gives me like a rundown on the position. Honestly, not too much information spared. It was more like kind of just a conversation, but whatever. We talk a little back and forth. Turns out he actually went to the UCLA Extension School. So we were kind of bonding over like UCLA and where we lived at UCLA and stuff like that. And then at some point, the gallery associate walks in. And I was like, oh, she's here too. I was not expecting that. So I obviously go over and say hi. And I'm like, hey, like, how are you kind of thing. And then the mom comes in and the son goes, okay, like to the gallery associate, can you translate for her? So now the gallery associate is part of this quote unquote interview. Mind you, it doesn't really feel too much like an interview, but it is an interview. It is an interview, okay? So I'm sitting there with the mom and the gallery associate, and the mom is speaking in French and the gallery associate is translating for me. Again, it's a little rundown. They didn't really tell me too much about the position, honestly. I mean, they did and they didn't. They were like, it's like very salesy and like you would have to do this and blah, blah. And so the mom kind of gives like a short rundown and then I think asks me some questions and I answer them. And like, mind you, I am seemingly underqualified and there's this language barrier that's going on here. So I'm so certain that I'm not going to get the job. I'm like, okay, this is good interview practice. I'm getting my first, well, actually not first interview in the art world, but whatever, like first full-time interview in the art world. Like at least I get to try it out. Not expecting anything. I went in really like fully expecting to come out, be like, yep, no, nothing. Nice try. Do a little back and forth. And finally, the mom's like, okay, so we'd like to start you part-time. You come in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was, and we'll see how you do with the clients and blah, blah, and all that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they just offered me a job. And it's actually kind of perfect because it's not full-time. Like I was freaking out about the full-time thing, but no, it's part-time and I get to try it out. And like, I was like, wait, this is perfect. This is good. Still confused about this, you know, language difference. Because I was like, I feel like this was the biggest issue here. And this is what everyone was warning me about. And this is like the reason why I thought I wasn't going to get the job. So I'm like, oh my gosh, amazing. And so yeah, the gallery associate relays that information to me. And then the mom's like, is that good? Does that sound good? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And then I was like, am I supposed to take the offer right now or can I take a moment to like reflect on it? Because here's the problem. I did not ask questions. I didn't ask about salary. I feel like I should have at least asked about salary on the spot and I just didn't. So I kind of was like, okay, yeah, like sounds good. And so they were like, yeah, you can reflect on it and let us know. And I was like, okay, cool. So I leave and I'm like, guys, I just got a job. Like what in the world? I'm like, no way. I can't believe this is happening. Like everything's falling into place. This is amazing. I'm set to start working in the middle of December. So I would have had that Miami Art Week experience. And then like a week later, I would have started working at this gallery. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it's happening. Like all this work that I put in is finally like showing. And here we are. Here we are. Guys, here we are, right? So excited. And I was like, I realize that this is one of those situations where I'm gonna have to like prove myself while working, but I'm willing to put like 110% in. My whole thing was always, I realize on paper, I am not the ideal candidate for any of these galleries. Whenever I apply, they look at my resume, they're gonna be like, why is this girl applying? Because I don't have the education, I don't have the experience, I just don't have the background that they're looking for. And that probably cuts me out right away. But I was like, if a gallery could just give me a chance, I would prove to them that I was worth hiring. Like I will go 110%. I will put in all the work I can to show them that despite the fact that I don't have the education or background they're looking for, I am the ideal candidate and that hiring me was a good idea, right? So I was like, as long as I get a chance, I just need someone to give me a chance. And I was like, I have this chance with Miami Art Week and now I have this chance with this gallery and like, here we are. It's all falling into place. Now, to be honest, was this like the ideal gallery for me? No. I feel like I will say like, I kind of was like, well, I could only admit this to myself afterwards, but point is, I did realize like, was it the kind of gallery that I wanted to necessarily work at? No. But just having the opportunity was so big for me. And I was like, it's a no-brainer to take it. Obviously, I already knew that I was going to say yes, regardless of any concerns I had. I was going to take it. Ultimately, I just wanted a moment to reflect. So I go back home. I tell my entire family. Everyone's like excited. Whole thing. I'm like, it's finally happening. Sophia has a job. Following day, I get onto my computer early afternoon and I send out an email to the gallery, just asking some questions like, what salary? I think there were like two other questions about like, is it going to be like part-time forever, like part-time going to full-time? And then like one more question, something of that sort. Just some questions I'd forgotten to ask. I'd spent some time thinking about this. And so I send them over, and not even like 30 minutes later, I get a phone call from a random number, actually a New York-based number. And I'm like, huh, strange. But since I was working with this other gallery that was based in New York for Miami Art Week, I thought maybe it has to do with that. Like, I should probably pick it up. So I do pick it up, and I hear the voice, and I realize, oh, it's the son of the gallery. So he's like, hi, Sophia. And I'm like, hi, how are you? You know, all that. And he's like, so I saw your email, and I thought, oh, okay, he's going to respond to the questions that I had. Amazing. You know, it's probably simpler just to like do it over the phone instead of typing out like the answers. And he's like, so two things have happened since we last talked. And I was like, okay. What happened? And he was like, number one, and this is the one that he really milked. Like, he talked about this for a while. He was like, we realized, like, you know, it's just going to be really frustrating for both you and my mom with the language and blah, blah. Mind you, I was ready to learn French. I was like, I'm going to learn French within the next 2 weeks. I promise. Like, I will get all the basics down. Like, I was ready. I was ready to do anything for this position. So he's like, you know, we realize this is just going to be really frustrating for the both of you, and you're not going to be able to understand each other. And we don't want her to be thinking that you're not doing your job because of, so that kind of thing, right? Like, it's going back and forth on that. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And then he sprinkles in the second thing, and he's like, and by the way, the gallery associate notified us yesterday that she's actually going to continue on with us just part-time. What a slap in the face. Because why was she doing that? Probably because she heard the offer that they gave me, realized that she could still work there, just not full-time, and decided to just reel back that like 2 week notice that she gave them or whatever it was, and just be like, actually, I'll stay for you. So yeah. And then he, of course, did this whole thing of like, it has nothing to do with you. Like, you were so chic and blah, blah. And he was like, any gallery would be stupid not to take you. And I was like, that's the most hypocritical thing to say to me, because do you know how hard it is for galleries to take me seriously? Like, I, on paper, am the worst possible candidate to apply. And now you're sitting here telling me, I know I have what it takes to work at a gallery. That's not something that I doubt. I absolutely don't doubt that. But do galleries see that in me? Probably not. Not from a paper resume and a cover letter. I'm trying my best. I have such a good pitch in my cover letter that I've made out for these galleries, hoping that someone sees it and is like, you know what? This is unique and this is different. But I think it's actually worth taking a chance on. Is a gallery going to take me serious? No, not necessarily. Okay. Like, it's really hard for me to get a job. Okay. So he says that, and I'm just like, haha. Okay. And of course, I didn't even know how to react. So I was just like, oh, thank you so much. Like, I literally was thanking him for this rejection or this offer being rescinded. I thanked him more than once. I held back the tears. I didn't even really think that I was gonna like, I mean, I thought maybe we shed some tears, but I really didn't think that it was gonna take me out in the way that it did. I was heartbroken. I cried nearly the entire day. I'm not a big crier. I have to really like note that. Like, I only cry when I'm like super frustrated, and it's usually like in a short spurt. Like, it's not whole day crying spell. I cried for the entire day. It basically went like, I think I got this news around like 1:30. I start bawling crying. I think I like have a little pause when I realized my mom and sister had been out and they came back, and I had to tell them the information because obviously I had to tell someone. And I couldn't tell my dad just yet because I was like, oh, you know, I feel like if anyone wants me to be really like employed, it probably is my dad, except now I'm thinking it's actually my mom. But anyways, I like go up to like, they're still in the car. I don't know why, but I go to the car and I'm staring at them like eyes red and puffy and like my nose running. And all of a sudden they look at me and they're like, what's going on with you? And I'm like, so my offer just got rescinded. Start bawling crying again. At some point I just cried like the entire day. And then I had like a little break because I had therapy. So I went to therapy. Obviously this is therapy not for my general life problem, so I couldn't even tell her. I mean, I could have probably snuck it in there, but it's not about that. It's about a traumatic experience I've had. And so it's like trauma therapy. And so it has nothing to do with my actual life. It has to do with this event that happened like such a long time ago. And so I couldn't be like, yeah, and by the way, I got an offer and then it got got rescinded. So I kind of made it through therapy. And then I think afterwards, yeah, I just cried a lot. And then my mom came back home from work at some point and she was like, oh, Sophie. And then I started bawling, crying again. And I literally was like, my life is over. I was like, this was my one chance to get a job and blah, blah. Which, to be fair, like a month later, I hate to say it, but it's not like much has changed in that sense. It's not like I can be like, but good news, guys, I ended up getting my dream job at a gallery that I really fit and really wanted to work at. And no, I'm still here unemployed. I could cry about that right now, actually. Anyways, so yeah, took me out. That whole day was so rough. Following day, I was feeling a little bit better, thank goodness. I was very much like, what do I do now? Like, actually, what do I do now? That was it. That was my one chance and it's gone. Yeah, following day, I did feel a little better. Following day was Thanksgiving. So over that week, I started to be able to like breathe a little bit from the situation. And honestly, the following day, I kind of woke up and I was like, okay, yes, that sucked. And yes, that was rough. And I am still like, kind of like, what in the world just happened? But we'll come out of this. We've always made it out onto the other side whenever something bad happened, and it's going to be fine. Like, I'm going to be fine. And then that Sunday, I then started working the Miami Art Week experience. So I think that really like allowed me to take my mind off of it. Because after that, then I was fine. Then I didn't really think about it ever again. At least not in like great detail. I did mention it. We went to lunch on the first day that I was working for the gallery. And, you know, we were getting to know each other. And I told the gallery owner and the artist that I was with about the story, about how I'd gotten this job offer earlier this week and then it got rescinded. And they both were very flabbergasted by the whole story because they were like, wow, that's so unprofessional. And I was like, haha, I know. I'm aware that that was not right in any way, shape, or form, but it did happen. So I did trauma dump a little there. But then after that, I didn't really ever speak on it again. I think when I was like catching up with friends in New York, I might have mentioned it. But it was like at that point, kind of just like something of the past. But yeah, that happened. And I wish I could say like there was like a happy ending from that story, but there has yet to be a happy ending. Luckily, I have gotten over it. It was a little brutal. I was a teensy brutal. That was, you know, that affected me in ways that I couldn't have anticipated it would affect me. That one hit hard. So that was the story of that. And yeah, like I said, I wish I could say like, oh, but it's okay because I ended up getting this job instead. No, can't say that. I think what happened was I left Miami Art Week with some tentative prospects of potential employment opportunities that might be able to formulate into something in the new year. Time will tell whether any of these opportunities, I think I'm gonna have to go back on a couple of them and just like follow up, but time will tell. But it's not like anything is looking super promising. And I also am the type of person who doesn't trust that something's going to work out unless it's like already proven to work out. It isn't until someone like gives me a hard offer on paper that I'll be like, okay, I have an offer on the table. So it's all very tentative and I'm not really expecting any of that to work out. And I think that can bring us into the whole conversation topic about what in the world is happening in my mind about career stuff and what am I thinking and what am I doing and the whole thing. So it's been about 2 months since I really started taking the job applications for the art industry seriously. My main goal, honestly, like I said, was to just get an internship. It was like, I just want an internship. That's it. Work in gallery, get the experience, do it temporarily, come out of it, then decide whether that's something I want to do full time. Then I have experience on my resume, and I also have the experience myself to be able to know whether this is somewhere I see myself or something I see myself doing full time. I have yet to get an internship. I made a video on my like second account about, and for some reason it started to like people actually saw it. I was like, oh, no one's gonna see it. And now it has like, I don't know, 20k views. Anyways, I made this TikTok about me realizing how absurd it is that I can't get even an internship. And of course, a lot of people were like, well, you're just overqualified, or why are you applying to internships when you should be applying to a full-time job kind of thing. First off, I only apply to internships that state that they're also open to recent grads, because obviously if I saw a job application or an internship application and one of the qualifications was to be in school, I'm not in school. I'm aware of that. So I wouldn't apply. So I apply to the ones that are like open to recent grads. In the art world, I think a lot of them generally are open to recent grads, which is why I'm kind of like, see, I have a degree. Now I even have experience under my belt too, actually. You know, before I had nothing, but now I also like have that Miami Art Week experience. So it's like, I'm not starting from like ground zero now. Like I'm a little a little above ground zero with that one. But no, haven't gotten any internships. The thing about the art world too is that a lot of these internships are unpaid, and I unfortunately don't think I have the capacity to, which is so sad because there's one internship program that I would absolutely love to do. I think it would be such a cool experience, but they are unpaid. But yeah, I just don't have the capacity to do an unpaid internship because more likely than not, it would be in New York. And I don't know how I would pay for my life if I did that. Like I said, I actually don't think I ever mentioned it on here too. Look, there's so much that got missed. I have thought about just like risking it all and moving to New York with no job, no plan, and just figuring it out from there. And part of that would be taking an unpaid internship. But again, the concept of having to sustain myself for like 3 to 4 months with an unpaid internship, not knowing whether I could get like a part-time job to at least make back a little bit of what I'm spending in that time, does concern me. And like I said, there might come a point where I just like lose my marbles and I'm like, it's time, I'm just going for it. But for now, I'm just like very much saving up for whatever. In a way, I've been sort of like extreme saving, like any money I make goes into my savings for the possibility that I might end up doing something like that. But also I'm like, if it doesn't end up being that, then I guess I can also treat myself to a nice little trip or something like that at some point, you know, because I have been just like making sure everything I make goes into that so that if I were to take that leap, I would be able to sustain myself at least for like a couple of months. With that being said, honestly, this has been a long time coming in the sense that it's been like slowly gearing up to where I'm at now. I have been growing more and more desperate to have a change in my life, aka get a job and be able to move out. And to me, getting a job and moving out was always like, it went hand in hand. I thought, oh, when I get a job, I will also move out. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but that's like a big goal of mine. And with all of this and all the work that I've been putting in into the art stuff, which, okay, I never finished. Yes, I'm applying to internships. I also apply to part-time jobs. I apply to full-time jobs. I basically apply to anything that I think I could be even just a little bit qualified for, like anything that's entry level, I apply for, hoping that someone will take a chance on me. It's so funny because I am willing to like literally do anything. Like I am almost willing to just take an unpaid internship in a very expensive city and figure it out from there. But also like, even if I were to get like a part-time thing in like a different city, I would make the move just for that part-time job and then also try and figure out what other part-time thing. And like the thing about the art industry is like, art industry does not pay for entry-level stuff. You're lucky if you're making like 50K full-time. And mind you, you need all of these like qualifications to even be able to get into it in the first place. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, if you're not doing something full time, the pay and the hours can be so sporadic. I wasn't going to even talk about this, but for example, I had an interview for something. It's in a different city too. Like I would have to move. It's also an expensive city. I had an interview for this gallery. I was very excited about it. But at some point when I was doing this interview, and I'm going to have like a second interview with them at some point, supposedly. Let's see if that actually happens. See, I don't trust anything. I don't trust anything at this point, okay? And I guess it would make sense after what happened. But anyways, so I had this interview and they were talking about like what they're looking for, and they asked me some questions, and I was like, okay, this sounded good. And so I finally asked, and I was like, so is this a full-time position? Like what kind of type of position is this? And they were like, it's hourly. And I was like, okay, so I'm assuming that means something like part-time, except you're not saying like, oh, it would be part-time as in like you work 3 days a week and then like the rest of the week is yours and like you can work a different job or something. Like hourly sounds like whenever we need you type thing, which obviously if I were to like get that offer, I would put my foot down and be like, okay, but it's going to have to be like a little bit more scheduled because I have to figure out how to sustain myself in said city. Additionally, I'll say it, like to get into the art industry, you actually need to have an absurd amount of privilege because you're not like making a living. You're barely making a living wage. A. B, like nothing is guaranteed. Like nothing is guaranteed. And especially with these like part-time, temporary, whatever positions. Like, I don't know if I mentioned this in my Miami Art Week episode, but I made $350 for a 40-hour work week during Miami Art Week. Like I worked probably around 40 hours, maybe a little less, maybe a little bit more, but not much less, not much more. And I made $350. So yeah, I think my expenses to like work Miami Art Week was more than 350. $750. I'm not kidding. And luckily I'm in a position to be able to do that. But had I not been, I couldn't even consider getting into the art industry. I get stressed thinking about, okay, but what if I were to get a job in another city? Because I'm like, how would I sustain myself? I wouldn't be able to be financially independent unless I was like working like other jobs as well. So this is something that's been starting to like, I've had to really think about it. And then I've also thought about the fact that like, I do want a job and I do want to move out. And with this, I'm playing the long haul game. Best case scenario, I have a job, probably just a part-time job, but best case scenario, I have a job within the next couple of weeks, like a couple weeks into the new year. Worst case scenario, I don't get a job or anything that's a little bit more permanent in my life for another couple of months, or like more than a couple of months. I don't know. Who knows? Like, it could take forever. So it's like, I really have to like sit here and play this waiting game. And the waiting game was worth it for the longest time, but now I'm starting to draw tired of still being in the same situation that I was in when I moved back home back in June and not having any leads on like things are going to change soon. And so that leads me to turning back on this career change and deciding to just apply to like positions I would have been applying to if I had never done the career change. So yeah, on Friday, I don't remember what day I decided this. It was sometime last week, but on Friday, I like literally just sat down and like mass applied to marketing jobs. Like I think I applied to probably like 20 between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, probably more than 20, actually. I just know that I had a bunch of emails from all these places I had applied to. I'm kind of turning back and I decided that for the rest of the year, so the next 7 days, except I should be taking a break. I deserve a break because I've been at it for a while, but I can't take a break. Like I will not rest until I have a job, any job. At this point, I'm kind of playing like career roulette, like which one works out, you know, first kind of thing. I think I would be a little sad if the art thing didn't work, but I would just try and find a way to like do it on the side for some time until I can grow into like a full-time role in that. I don't really know how I would do that. Maybe like volunteering. I've always thought about, a lot of people were like, you should volunteer. And I'm like, that's a wonderful idea. Except the problem is I live in a situation where maybe this is like me holding myself back, but I did very much look into volunteering for the longest time at our most well-known art museum in Miami. If I remember correctly, I could be wrong about this, but I think there was a 2-year commitment. It was like, if you decide to become a docent and volunteer, you have to commit to it for 2 years. And I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be in Miami for 2 years. So that doesn't work. There's another art museum that it was like a 6-month commitment, which I could have very much done. I think I tried reaching, I think I might have reached out to them and never got a response now that I think about it. And I didn't follow up. Oops. Because I was very dead set on like, I know I'm going to just try and get like a job at this point or an internship. And also like, I was thinking about transportation. I was like, how would I get there? Like, it's not impossible, but I was like, how am I going to get there? Let's just think for a second. So yeah, maybe, you know, if I just like got like a marketing job. Also, at least, you know, marketing jobs don't pay a lot either, but they at least pay more than any job in the art world that I could get, like entry level would. So at this point, I'll take that one. Yeah, but I've just been kind of focusing on that. And then I like thought about it yesterday again. And I was like, oh my God, I could also again, the world is my oyster. But this at this point, I'm just ferociously applying to anything in the art world, in marketing, abroad, in the United States, anything. And whatever works out first, I will just go for it. If it makes sense, I will go for it. Because at this point, I just want to live my life and move on. Do I necessarily want to be living at home into the new year? No. Here's the thing. This time last year, when I graduated college and moved back home, and even like months later, like in August, I always thought that by the time that 2025 came by, I would have a job and I would have moved out. That was like my hard date for myself. I was like, in the meantime, I can frolic, essentially. But by January 2025, I will have moved out and have a job. I have neither. It's not that I'm not trying either. It's like, I don't have any of that. So it's starting to come very close where I'm like, see, now I'm in a position where I am living quite the opposite of what I wanted for myself at this point of my life. And that does bother me to some degree. I realized, like, okay, I think also there's a lot of frustration with the job search. And so, like, I took a step back yesterday and I was like, okay, but when I think about my life, I'm in a very lucky position and I can't really complain that much. Things could be worse. This is, like, pretty good. And I will admit, like, if I continue, I feel like I live a decently happy life. I think I just get really stressed out with this job search because obviously, like, you know, partially I'm like, I feel like I should already be doing all of that. And, like, you know, like, it's starting to catch up to me that I, unlike a lot of my peers, took that break out of college, and it was a good thing. And I really appreciate that I had that time. And again, in a way, like, I wouldn't necessarily be upset if it continued that way because I do have a very nice life. There's a lot of privilege in it. I don't know why I'm so stressed out, but I am. I think because now I'm, like, very much trying to make this job thing work and it's not working out. Okay. Or it has yet to work out. And I think that waiting game and the constant applying and the hoping something works out has been very stressful. So yesterday I finally took a step back and I was like, but you know what? If I continued to live my life the way it is and nothing were to change, I would also be fine. It's not a dire situation. I'm not fighting to get out of this situation per se. It would be nice. I feel ready for this next life change, but I'm not necessarily unhappy with where I'm at. I just feel ready for something new. And another thing I realized is you never know when it's going to happen. And, like, you never know. And that's kind of the insane part. It's like, for everyone, when you're doing something like this, like, you're playing the waiting game for something, you never know when it's going to happen. And it could literally happen, like, well, I want to say from days from now, but, like, obviously with the holidays, like, nothing's happening in this time, but it could happen, like, in weeks from now or months or years. Like, you just never know when it's going to happen. And so I feel like I have to remind myself that and, like, not be so stressed out about the fact that it's not happening just yet, because, like I said, like, it could happen randomly one Tuesday afternoon. It all falls into place, and when it falls into place, everything changes. And I love change, but also change can be scary. And, like, when I think about it, I have gotten so comfortable with my life and it's been nice, and so having that change would be quite daunting and terrifying. It would be so worth it, but, like, I know in that moment there would also be a lot of stress around that of, like, oh my gosh, my entire life is changing. So, like, let me enjoy my life as it is, because who knows if I'm ever going to be able to live my life as it is now ever again. And I have so much freedom with that, which is so beautiful. Like, I get to do whatever I want and I'm not being held back by something, and I may never have that again. I think another thing to know about me is that one of my long-term goals is to essentially be, like, self-employed, make something for myself. Initially, I thought maybe I could build that up without having experience, like, working for someone else or being in a position where I am, like, an employee. But now I'm like, no, I think I need to gain that experience first. But one of my goals in the next couple of years is to have built something up for myself. I feel like TikTok is a little bit like that. It's not, like, obviously I don't do it full time and it's not fully like that just yet. But no, I would actually like to create my own business or product or service or something of that sort. And eventually have that be my full-time thing. But I think it's going to take time. But that is definitely a goal of mine. And I think for 2025, I definitely want to start, like, formulating that a little bit more and, like, going for it. I've had so many ideas over this past year. As my, like, account has been growing, I've been like, oh my God, like, I could try and use my platform for this and this. But I've just been too scared to go for it and just, like, try it out. I think especially because the one time I tried something out like this, it was sort of a flop. And I was like, oh, that was a flop. Maybe I'm not capable of, like, making something like this happen. But it is such a goal of mine. And I so badly want to do it. And I have this, like, one idea and I'm like, oh, I just want to go for it. But I'm like, I don't know if anyone would be responsive to it and if I could make it into a thing. But I feel like I should just go for it because it could be very much worth it. I don't even know where I left off. I took a TikTok break because I don't know, for some reason, it's been difficult to, like, do this episode. There's been just so much to talk about that I need, like, breaks in between. Okay, I guess that can get us into 2025, just, like, looking ahead a little bit. Like I said, I think I've been putting in quite a bit of work to try and change my life. And the goal is for that change to become apparent in 2025, ideally early 2025, but at least sometime in 2025. It's crazy how much can happen in a year. Like, if you think about 2024, just, like, but so much has happened. And, like, again, like I said, it's so hard for me to even associate with, like, the first couple of months because I'm like, that feels like a totally different lifetime in a way. So a lot can happen in a year, which is exciting and thrilling and also nerve-wracking because it's like, oh my gosh, hi, what's for lunch? Milk and cheese with peas? I hate peas, though. Every day in this household is so interesting and exciting and thrilling, and I just love it here. Guys, I'm going a little insane. I love my family, but they're starting to, like, really just, yeah. See why I'm, like, kind of desperate to, like, move on and move out kind of thing? Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. Anyways, so I guess I have to take a break now to go eat. Oops. Okay, I will be back and we will kind of think forward to, like, 2025. But yeah, the thing is, so much can happen a year. So it's, like, so hard to, I'm not going to try and predict what's going to happen in the year, but I'm just going to talk about some goals I have, some things that I would like to accomplish. I fear my sister was not kidding when she said mac and cheese with peas in there. There were peas in there. I was not a fan. Okay, looking ahead. Is it even worth it? Like, is it even worth looking ahead? Like, I just want the year to happen as it happens. I think ultimately I've learned over time that things fall into place in weird ways, but things do fall into place. And I ultimately do very much stand by, like, what's meant for you will find you. Whatever life you're meant to live, obviously you put in work. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm just gonna let the universe, like, take care of it. No, I've put in work and I will continue putting in work. I'm not stopping, but I'll put in work and whatever happens, happens. And if nothing happens, at some point I'll pivot. And I trust that things are gonna happen, like, as they're supposed to happen, with a mix of the universe taking care of it, like some external power, and me, myself, and I taking care of it. So I feel like just sitting here and being like, I want this, I want that. I don't know. It's difficult for me. I feel like I'm, like, jinxing it if I, like, say it out loud. But okay, one definitely big goal of mine is to move out and to move to a new city. Although I guess I'm also open to staying in Miami, just getting my own place, something of that sort. I definitely would like to, whatever means allow me to do that, whether it is a job, whether it is something that I do on my own, whatever it is, I do hope to be able to do that. I think that's, like, ultimately one thing that I'm really, like, set on. And I feel like if I say it out loud, it's, like, the same way, like, this time last year, I was so certain that I would have a boyfriend by this time. And I kept being like, I'm gonna have a boyfriend. And that never ended up happening. So I feel like saying, like, oh, I want to move out is kind of, like, same thing, where it's like, I say it and then it doesn't happen. But that's obviously the goal. That's the goal. Okay. And I will put in the work for that. I did not put in the work for a boyfriend. Okay. To be fair, I didn't really, like, actively date this year. So that's that. Actually, one thing I have been really thinking about for 2025 is, like, do I want to start dating again? Do I want to try and open myself back up to that? Or do I want to just, like, avoid it completely? Still don't know. My friend Christine, my dear friend Christine, hi Christine, I love you, just went through a breakup. And she was talking about how, like, she won't be open to dating again until, like, the middle of 2025. So, like, probably, like, the summer. And I mentioned it the other day, where I was like, maybe when you start taking dating seriously again, or, like, you start, like, dating again, I'll start taking dating seriously again kind of thing. So maybe I'll wait until then. Maybe at some point I'll just decide, you know what, why not, for fun. But obviously if I'm going to be, like, eventually moving somewhere new, I would probably want to wait. I would like to wait until I have, like, my career a little bit more settled, like I have a job, or, like, if I'm going to be doing something on my own, like, that's fully, like, lucrative and stuff like that. And then obviously also, like, having my own place and, like, living away from family, that kind of is, like, my criteria to date again. I just don't see myself dating until all of that gets fulfilled. So that's really my primary focus. So, like, if I don't get to that point by the end of 2025, then I also probably won't get to the point where I'm, like, open to dating again. But if I do, maybe I'll be open to it. I don't even want to talk about, like, oh, it would be nice to have a relationship in 2025, because, like, honestly, my primary focus is career and moving out. And I feel like that's still going to take quite a bit of time to sort of formulate into something bigger. So I can't even imagine, like, having the time for it in 2025, maybe 2026, like, maybe in 2026, things will change around. But I think with that, it's just a matter of thinking about whether I even, like, I do enjoy dating just, like, for fun. See, the thing is, like, I can't see myself dating for something serious, but ultimately that's what I would want if I was, like, to get into a long-term relationship. So, like, then dating would just be, like, a fun thing, like, more casual, like, just meeting people, having experiences, and, like, getting to know a little bit more about, like, what I want. Except I do feel like I have a decent grasp on that at this point. I think I've had enough dating experiences and enough just, like, life experiences personally for me to, like, have a better idea as to, like, where I want to go with all of that and what I see in a future relationship and, like, a long-term partner. So it's not like I feel like I'm missing out on that because I'm not dating actively right now, and I also may not date actively likely anytime soon. Obviously, some sort of employment, self-employment. I want to say this, but I feel like this might be reaching for the stars, especially after talking about how if I were to get into the art industry, it would not be a great salary. But I think ultimately, like, a big goal of mine is to be financially independent. And I always saw myself being that, like, straight out of college. Like, I thought, oh, I'm going to get a job and it'll allow me, you know, obviously in this economy, it's kind of like you thought, but like, that is the ultimate goal. So I'll say it. I think a goal of mine is to be financially independent by the end of 2025. That one feels like I'm reaching for the stars, but also I feel like I'm not. Like, I'm just like, as long as I can get a job, and if TikTok continues, then TikTok will always be a side hustle for me, hopefully. Well, I feel like I'm not promised that, but like, the goal is for TikTok to be like a side hustle and for me to at least be earning something on the side from that. And so hopefully like an accumulation of that, and then also eventually like working on personal projects, or yeah, like trying to grow something on my own in the meantime too. I think that's another big goal of mine. I hope that in 2025 I build something up that is like something I created on my own, that isn't my content and doesn't have to do with my job. So yeah, something, I don't know. I'm not really sure exactly. Like, I have so many ideas, but I don't know exactly where I would take that, but that's definitely the goal. I feel like I've always just wanted to have something of myself, like build something up. I want to start my entrepreneurial journey this year. That's the best way to put it. I want to start my entrepreneurial journey this year, and obviously start small, but start with something. Obviously, just like a continuation of 2024, I just hope to continue growing in my content creation journey. Obviously, I know things are a little uncertain with that right now, but that is a goal of mine and I want to try and make it happen regardless. But also, let's say it doesn't work out, that's fine too. I'll be sad, but I also feel like I had a pretty good run for the time that I did have on social media, but I don't plan to really go anywhere. So yeah, it would also be cool if like this podcast grew over time. I feel like it's been pretty stagnant because I didn't really like ever make it a point to like really be open about my podcast and try and get people to listen. But maybe I'll try a little bit more this year or this new year, and maybe more people will find it, which would be really cool. I feel like I've definitely gotten a better idea of like people actually listen to my podcast in this past year. I remember when I first started it, my dad would always be like, so like, do you get feedback? And I was like, no one really, like, you know, I feel like people listen, but I'm not sure if people are actually listening. But now I think I probably have like a couple of like regular listeners, maybe like 5 or 10, which is cool. So I appreciate that. Obviously hope that my mom continues to stay healthy. It's usually in the spring that things go a little downhill for her. She usually gets quite sick. So hopefully we don't have any of that. And hopefully her treatment, the one that she's on, continues to work, because then she should be fine. But yeah, and same with my dad, actually, because I hope they both stay healthy and active, and that things work out for them career-wise too, because I think they need that luck. But I'm very hopeful for them because I need that for them. I need them to at least have that. They deserve it. They work so hard too, so like, they deserve it. So I'm hoping that this is a good year for them. I hope I continue to find myself in the art world, whether I end up doing like a full-time career in it or whether I choose a different career path, but then still like just continue to be involved and, you know, go to art fairs and maybe be able to travel around a little bit, like to kind of like chase after art in a way. For example, the gallerist that I was working for during Miami Art Week was telling me about how there's this art fair that happens in Japan on these Japanese islands, and you basically like kind of island hop to like see the art fair. And I was like, wait, that's so cool. And it's like, I think it's like 6 week periods at a time, like they have it maybe even every season, I don't know. But I was like, wait, that's so cool. Like, imagine. I would love to go back to Japan too, but I don't know if I'm gonna be doing that. If anything, see, I've been saying this for years now, basically since 2022, I want to say. I've wanted to ski. I've never gone skiing before. My parents probably will never take me. That was like the one bet. And then in 2022, that winter, I had a boyfriend who lived in an area that's known for skiing. And I almost did a ski trip. Didn't end up happening because my mom was so concerned that I was going to hurt myself before I went to India. So she was like, you can't go. So I never got to go skiing. And after that, I was like, okay, in 2023, I'll go skiing. And 2023 went by, never got to go skiing. Also, I feel like, I mean, I don't really know what skiing prices are. I've never really looked into it. But in my mind, it's just like a very expensive trip. So I'm like, oh, I would have to be able to like, if I'm not going with my family, I'd have to be able to like fund that. Since I knew I was never going to be able to go with my family, I had some hope for a while. Because the thing is, like, my mom, and I can't even imagine this, but my mom's gone skiing so many times. She's like, when I skied Lake Placid, I'm like, you skied? Ma'am, what? But like, obviously she skied. She grew up in Germany. Duh. But I have personally never skied before. And I'm like, oh, why couldn't you have taken us when we were little, when you could ski? Now, obviously, my mom can't ski because, you know, she's sick. My dad hates the cold, definitely can't ski. My dad wears slippers with socks in the snow. So like, that's what we're working with there. So the thing is, I don't think I'll ever be able to go with my family. Anyways, point is, I've wanted to ski. So 2023, I was like, okay, this is the year that I'm gonna ski. Didn't happen. 2024, I was like, I'm not holding out too much hope because who am I gonna go skiing with? I have no one to go skiing with. But I think at the beginning of 2024, I was like mentioning it to Christine. I was like, we should do like a trip to Tahoe and ski. She was like, yeah, that would be fun, but obviously never happened. So long story short, I would like to say that 2025 is the year that I'm gonna ski, but it's not. I don't think it is. But if I were to go skiing, I would like to go skiing in Japan. So that would be like another Japan trip, because apparently skiing in Japan is like top tier. Not saying that that's happening in 2024, but just saying that I would like that to happen at some point in my life. I don't even know why I brought that up in the first place. Oh, because I was talking about Japan. One place I would, not one place, three places I would like to go to in 2025. I would like to do another solo trip. That's definitely a goal of mine. If I think the career stuff doesn't work out, then honestly, I could see myself doing a solo trip in the first like half of the year, because I've been really saving up for like a move. But like, if there is no move happening, I think I would come to a point where I'm like, okay, I could use that to like go travel. But yeah, I want to go to China. I want to go to Taiwan, and I want to go to Hong Kong. China, honestly, I don't know if Christine would be down. We've talked about it a little bit, but I feel like we've never taken this actually seriously. And just in the way that we had that discussion of like, oh, we could go skiing in Tahoe. Like, I feel like it's one of those things that would never actually make it out of the group chat kind of thing. Like, I don't think we would actually ever end up doing it, but I would love to go to China with Christine because she speaks the language. So then at least that. And also, yeah, that could be fun. And also because, like I said, she recently went through a breakup and they had always talked about, because they dated for a really long time, like years, 3.5 years. Anyways, they dated for a really long time. And there was always that conversation of like, she wanted to take him to China. And I remember her mentioning this like quite recently of like, oh, this is going to be like, she thought 2024 was going to be the year that that would happen, and it didn't end up happening. And now they broke up, and she was mentioning that he's actually going to China for work. And she was like, I thought I was going to be the one to take him to China, but now like he's going for work. And I was like, well, you can take me instead. Like, we can go together. May 2025, anyone. So I would love for that to happen, but who knows. But if not, I will do it myself. I'll go to China and Hong Kong and Taiwan. That'll be my trip. I can do that in like 3-4 weeks, give myself like a month ish for that. So that's one destination package I would really like to go to. Obviously, I'd love to visit Christine in San Diego again. That's a goal of mine. And besides that, I don't really know. I think nothing will ever top 2024 in terms of travel, but I hope to continue at least like regularly traveling a bit, at least doing some, like, I think a long term, I would also love to go to Europe, but I keep thinking that it's going to happen eventually. Like, I thought, oh, well, surely I'll do a Europe trip the summer of my graduation, like my college graduation, but then it didn't end up happening. And now I'm like, I don't know, I always thought like, oh, if I were to, I kind of like have saved Europe for like if I were to live in Europe, but then I'm like, oh, when am I going to live in Europe? For being realistic, I just don't really see that happening. I really want to, but I can't even imagine that happening. I can't imagine it happening. But that is such a goal of mine, to be able to live in Europe for a year and then just like spend my weekends traveling around, so then I really get to know Europe. That's such a vast space to uncover as well. So right now my focus is on Southeast Asia, the different locations I want to go to. Another one is Thailand, but I also think, well, I say this, but then I can't even imagine. Literally, I'm getting to this point where I'm like, it would actually be quite a peaceful life if I was just on my own. Like, I was thinking about like buying a house today because, you know, my parents recently bought a house, and I get to see all of the like fun things that happen when you buy a house and the decisions that go into it. And my mom always just being like, my parents are always on a totally different page and it's so stressful. And I was like, you know, maybe buying a house by yourself is like actually the ideal situation, because then you make all the decisions and you don't have to like consult someone or have someone else make decisions that you didn't want them to make, or like stuff like that. So I was like, maybe a life alone is so worth it. I can have a child on my own. I can adopt a child too, or children. I could have multiple, but like, maybe that is the way to go. Anyways, why was I bringing that up though? What was the point of that? I forgot what the point of that was. Oh, because I'm like, oh, Thailand would be amazing with a partner. Like, that's what I've been saving it for. But like, if there's no partner in sight, like within a couple of years, I'll go to Thailand myself. The good thing about this point in my life is I'm like, if there's no one to do it with, I'll do it myself. Nothing's holding me back ultimately. And maybe in the meantime, I make friends and we go together. We do like a little romantic getaway together. Literally, telling Christine, I was like, we should spend Valentine's Day together since we're both single for the first time in like 3 years, almost four years now. And I was like, we could do like little romantic getaway together instead of, you know, doing it with men that don't exist in our lives. Why not? I don't know if she's like all for the idea, but I am all for the idea. Because why do we have to wait until some man comes into our life? No, we don't. You know what? Actually, wait, that's a genius idea. I'm glad I just thought of that. If I am still unemployed and living at home in February when Valentine's Day rolls around, I will take myself on a romantic getaway. Done. Easy. Perfect. We just came up with that. That's where the money that I'm saving will go to. Wow. We just solved all of our problems right there. Okay. I'll take myself on a romantic getaway if it's not going to happen with anyone else. Cool. See, that's what I love about being able to live life on your own. It's so simple. It's actually so simple. If someone doesn't want to do it with you, you just do it by yourself and it'll be a grand old time. Okay, but where would I go is a question. That's something I have to think about. I'll figure that out later on because it's like in February and I guess I wouldn't. I will take myself to Mexico. Fun fact, we're going to Mexico. Yeah. So Christmas Day, we're flying to Mexico. My family, we haven't done a family vacation in over three years now. And last time we did a family vacation, it was kind of like a road trip. We went to Savannah, Georgia. Well, first we drove up to Jacksonville, spent just like a night there as like a break. Then we went to Charleston. I love Charleston. No, maybe we went to Savannah first. No, I think we went to Charleston and then we went to Savannah and then we came back down. So it was like, we had never done a road trip before, mind you. Like this was like first time road trip in that sense, like road tripping from home, if that makes sense. But yeah, we did that. That was the last time we did a family vacation. My family did do a family vacation in the summer of 2022. I did not go because I was in New York at the time working, but they went to Costa Rica again. So yeah, we haven't done a family vacation since. And obviously once my mom got re-diagnosed with cancer, it was kind of like, will we ever be able to do a family vacation? Because we just didn't know. And it kind of came up and we were again like, are we going to be able to do a family vacation because of my mom? But we're going for it. It's going to be a short little trip. It's not very long, but I can't believe we're actually doing it. And I say, I can't believe we're actually doing it because we decided yesterday on the 22nd that we were going to go. Booked flights, literally everything sold out. We found like, guys, it was so stressful yesterday trying to book those flights because I was like, this is a trip, an international trip that we're going on in 2 days. Is that not insane? My dad emailed me and he was like, can you figure out what the entry requirements are? I was like, imagine if so much stress. I have the most type B family ever. This happens with all our trips, but this one's been particularly bad. It has never been as bad as this. Okay, we've never actually gotten this close to the wire before. But yeah, we're going to Mexico, but we're going, my family, when we like to travel, mind you, we've only done abroad trips. We've only done Costa Rica and Portugal. So in those trips, my family likes to go a little bit more off grid. And by off grid, I mean like not the most popular destinations in that place. Like in Portugal, for example, we did go to Lisbon because my dad had a work conference there. But besides that, we didn't go to Porto, which I feel like is the second most known. We didn't go to the beach areas. My family loves to avoid the beach because they're like, we live by the beach. We don't need to go to the beach. And I'm like, but I want to go to the beach. I really like water. Something about water just makes me so happy and calm and tranquil. And my family doesn't want to go to the beach. So anyways, yeah, we like to go a little like off-road to the less traveled destinations. And so that's technically what we're doing. Although I guess they're not completely like, but I feel like they're not the places that most people think of when they think of Mexico, if that makes sense. So we're going to this place called Merida and then we're going to this place called Valladolid. So yeah, I think I just want more of what this year had plus some career success. I think that's my main priority is career success and then life success as in like moving out and building a new life for myself as a real adult now. Because I feel like in college, it's like you're part adult, part child. But now do I want to be a real adult? I realize that adulting comes with some things that are not so exciting. But yeah, I think my biggest goals are the career stuff work out, whatever it is, whether it's in the art world, whether it's marketing, whether it's, I don't know, something more entrepreneurial, and then moving out and everything else can fall into place however it does. Oh, and traveling. definitely would love to travel. Okay, and I think that's it. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a happy new year. And I think I'll do a TikTok, just like checking in on everyone, being like, so like, what are the new year's? I don't really do resolutions, but just like asking what like people are excited for the new year, or like what their goals are, that kind of stuff. I'd love to hear. So that's a goal for TikTok. But yeah, I hope everyone has a happy new year. And I'm hoping that this new year brings you lots of good and that we all have a great new year, or a great 2025. Not, I mean, a great new year, but also a great 2025. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. I will see you guys in my episode next week. Bye. Love you all.